My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for the last few summers, at least, ESPN.com has done this thing right around this time of year. Jeremy Fowler spearheads the effort for ESPN where they rank the top 10 players at each position group. The quarterback list came out yesterday, and I'll get to that in a moment. I did want to mention that, you know, neither Daron Payne nor John Allen were on the defensive tackle list. John Allen was among the honorable mentions on that list. I mean, look, we know what kind of season. I'm sorry, both of them were. Daron Payne and John Allen were honorable mentions. They were 8th and 10th, I think, last year on the list. There are a lot of really good defensive tackles. The wide receiver list hasn't come out. We'll see where Terry kind of ranks on the list. But anyway, the biggest surprise for me so far is that they ranked the top 10 interior offensive linemen. Now, that includes centers. So it's the guard, the two guard positions, and the center. And so this was the list that I was most confident would include a Washington player in the top 10, because I thought Sam Cosmi would be in the top 10. He's not in the top 10. He's also not among the players listed when they get to a list of 7 honorable mentions. And then beyond that, there are another 11 names on the list of others receiving votes, and he's not on that list either. That means that among the top 28 interior offensive linemen, that includes centers as well, and there are plenty of centers on this list, Sam Cosmi's not on the list. I've seen him, you know, ranked high on a lot of lists. He was the second highest rated guard in the NFL over the final 7 weeks of the season per Pro Football Focus. I think he was the 4th highest rated guard for the season per Pro Football Focus. This is, by the way, a polling of front office executives, scouts, and coaches. So this may be an indication of just how much they pay attention to some of the advanced numbers, like they certainly didn't hear, because he's not in the top 10, and then he's not on the list of the next 7 honorable mentions, and then there are another 11 players that receive votes, and he didn't receive 1 vote. That's stunning to me. I think Sam Cosmi is a good player. I think he's got a chance to be a very good player. You know, Denton said to me during the break that you know, it's just the perception they have of the team's offensive line. Okay. That may be true. Because you look at the players in this top 10, there are some perceived pretty good offensive lines. Zach Martin was one, Chris Lindstrom two. Falcons offensive line, okay, but better than average probably. Quentin Nelson three. Joe Thuney was four with Kansas City. Bitino in Cleveland, they had a good offensive line, five. Well-coached offensive line, too. Landon Dickerson, Eagles. Creed Humphrey, Chiefs. Frank Ragnow, very good Lions offensive line. Trey Smith, the Chiefs have three offensive linemen on there. And then the Packers, Jenkins was 10th. And then you have more Browns and more Cowboys on the honorable mention list. And that may be exactly what you're, you know, you may have nailed it there, Denton. But come on. Not listed among the top 28 interior offensive linemen and centers? Seriously?
Have they already done the tackles? Do you think there's any chance they looked at him as a tackle instead? Even though he played guard, but some of those weird things where the NFL...
he hasn't been a tackle for 2 years.
He hasn't, but some people are weird about that. Like, well, I think he's more a tackle, so I'm going to rate him as a tackle, and now they have a moving offensive line. That would be my only guess, because there's no way he's not one of the top 28.
Has the tackle list come out?
Not that I have seen. I could have missed it, though.
No, it looks like it did come out. Let me just see. Oh, for whatever reason, I'm not getting that site to pop up now, including the quarterback list. See if you can pull up the tackles. I do have the quarterback list in front of me. I'm unable to link to the tackles. Anyway, I did want to talk about the quarterbacks because I think there's an interesting conversation about after Mahomes. Mahomes is obviously the number one ranked quarterback per this polling of front office executives, scouts, and coaches in this ESPN.com. What they've been doing now annually by putting out a list based on what people in the league think are the top 10 players at each position group. I mean, this is obvious at quarterback. There's no chance anybody other than Patrick Mahomes would be the number one quarterback. I think the conversation gets interesting after number two. I do. And that's where I wanted to talk about this, and we can kind of have a discussion because I think I know who your number two is. Are you able to pull up this list? Because it keeps disappearing from me.
I do. I have the full list. It's on our buddy Dove Kleiman's Twitter account.
Oh, well, that makes it official.
Yeah, it's official.
So number two on the list this year was Joe Burrow, right?
Correct.
I know how much you love Joe Burrow, and I like Joe Burrow also, but I'm sorry. There's no chance he's number two behind Mahomes on this on my list. I would have Josh Allen before Burrow. I would consider Justin Herbert, honestly, before Burrow. That got you.
Yeah, well, it got me.
You were okay with Josh Allen.
Well, Josh Allen, I would push back on that a little bit. But it's funny because a man that was filling in for you yesterday told me that you were going to have Justin Herbert obscenely high on your quarterback list, and now you have him. He did, and now you have him at number three.
Yeah. I think Herbert's ability and talent, now that they've got a real coach. Herbert's six on this list. I think this is a guy that could take a massive jump in the way we view Herbert after this coming season. We'll see. Here's the problem that I have with Burrow. He can't stay healthy. He's always out. You know, and by the way, the injury that he had last year in that Thursday night game against Baltimore. What are they saying about that injury in terms of the long-term impact? There was some concern about that ligament, wasn't? I think there was.
He has said, and they have said, that it'll impact the way that he throws, but it's manageable. Like, it's not like he completely has to recreate his throwing motion. It's something that he'll always feel.
Yeah, look, he's got Mahomes and Burrow and Allen has had. They've had weapons. There's no doubt about that. Now, Allen's, it's going to be interesting to watch this year without Diggs to see how he produces. Burrow may have the best receiver in the game. I mean, you can make the case that Ja'Marr Chase is the best in the game. And to have Higgins and Mixon, Mixon's gone, right? Mixon is gone. And,
yeah,
and Higgins is holding out.
Higgins is going to play, but Mixon is in Houston.
So I think everybody, is there an NFL fan that wouldn't have Mahomes number one?
Somebody who's on a substance.
So I do think that the debate starts at number two. And there's something that was written about Josh Allen from an AFC executive, which I thought was pretty interesting. This is actually, it's an NFL executive. Quote, about Josh Allen, one of the more overrated players in the NFL. Immense talent, but he makes a lot of mistakes. He's underdeveloped at winning at the line of scrimmage. Tends to lock onto targets. More of a thrower than a precision passer. Forces throws into traffic. You know what? That description is not foreign to me when it comes to thinking about Josh Allen's game. But there's a lot more to Josh Allen's game. Josh Allen is a threat, major threat, as a playmaker off schedule, as a runner and thrower. As good as there is in the game in combining the run ability with the throw ability. I mean, I would put him even, I don't know, Lamar's probably one in that category. You know, I'll go one Lamar. But I would go Josh Allen, too, in that category. I just think if you told me I need a quarterback for the upcoming season and you don't get Mahomes, I think Josh Allen would be my number two.
I do think it's become trendy to dislike Josh Allen. Because, I mean, you and I mentioned some of the stuff that the AFC scout, general manager, whoever that was, said about Josh Allen. We had those conversations last year during the postseason because we knew that sort of thing was going to happen, and right. It did. But I think it's become overly trendy to dislike Josh Allen now, and I think people are kind of jumping on the disdain of Josh Allen hype train because they're just kind of tired of it. I'm with you. He's not two for me. But if you give me an option and Josh Allen's my quarterback entering a season, I'm feeling pretty darn all right with having him as a quarterback.
Who's your number two?
Well, Joe Burrow's my number two. Yeah, of course.
So this year, with no Diggs, they added Curtis Samuel. They drafted Keon Coleman from Florida State. They added Valdez Scantling. The tight end, Dalton Kincaid's legit good. Legit good. Yeah. I mean, no Diggs. How many times did he target Diggs the last few years? Who's going to be that number one target for him? He doesn't have... I mean, I know that there were some issues at times with Diggs, but... You're talking about a top five, top six, top seven receiver in the game, and he does not have that. He doesn't have Gabe Davis anymore either. He was targeted 160 times last year by Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs was.
There was only one season of the four where he was targeted less than 160 times, and he played one fewer game in 2022.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to me, but you know, I say that I'm bullish on what Justin Herbert can do now with a different coaching staff. But let's not forget that both Allen and Williams are gone as receivers, and their depth chart on it includes the kid from TCU from last year, right, Quentin Johnston. Who else do they have?
They drafted Ladd McConkey
out of
Georgia, which he could be really good in the Jim Harbaugh scheme of things. And they have Josh Palmer and DJ Chark. For Justin Herbert for this year, I don't think you can judge him properly off of stats. I think he's going to be much more of like an eye test kind of guy because of the Jim Harbaugh system.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much more balance. I do think you'll see the best of him, but if you're looking, if there's anybody out there that's looking for like 4,500 yards and 40 tutties, this is not going to be the system that he's going to do that in.
Well, I think you'll judge him based, you know, this will be one of those where you'll judge him on how he plays in the games where he can impact the result, you know, in the fourth quarter. And, you know, if he's kept, I mean, look, they're in a brutal, they're in the brutal AFC. They're in a division with the Chiefs. I think the Chargers are a very interesting team. I mean, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I don't care how often they were hurt, and Williams got hurt last year after a great start to the season, if my memory serves me correctly. Those are two excellent receivers who are no longer there. I mean, they were there forever for Rivers and then for Herbert as a young quarterback. But on this list, after Mahomes, Burrow is number two. He was also number two last year. Allen is number three. He was also three last year. And then Lamar Jackson is four. And then Matt Stafford is five. Look, I've always been a huge Matt Stafford fan. And I thought he played well at times last year. There are just times now when you watch Matt Stafford at, what, 38 years old, 37 years old, something like that, where he looks compromised. He looks physically inferior to the way he used to look. I mean, he has to be healthy. Herbert, six. Stroud is seven. Aaron Rodgers is eight. I'll be honest with you. I understand why he's eight. He didn't play last year. He's 40 years old. But if you gave me just for this year, Rodgers would be higher on this list than eight. Goff is nine, and Prescott is 10. The honorable mentions are Purdy, Love, Hurts, Tua, Kirk, and Trevor. Trevor Lawrence, where was he last year? He had to be top 10 last year.
I think he was like seven last year. Coming off that big season, get a big playoff win, nearly beat the Chiefs. A lot of expectations, and they didn't crash and burn. They crashed, though.
I think there are a couple of things that stand out about this list. One, I think there's a really good debate to be had for who's number two. And in fact, we'll open up phone lines. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. After Mahomes, who's the second best quarterback in the NFL? Who would you want on your team leading your team in 2024? Like, who's the second best quarterback in 2024? This isn't an organizational next 5 years, next 10 years. Who would you want quarterbacking your team in 2024? Mahomes is obviously one. I don't think anybody's going to be insane enough to push back on number one. Who's number two? So we'll take calls on that. But the other interesting things about this list are that it kind of reflects not a lot of top-tier quarterbacks in the league right now. When Jared Goff, when C.J. Stroud after 1 year is number seven, when Jared Goff is nine, and I think Dak at 10, look, Dak had a great year statistically last year, and then you're talking about your honorable mentions being, you know, Cousins, Tua, Hurts, Love, and Purdy, you know, look, and Lawrence, excuse me, and Lawrence as well. Like, Lawrence, to me, could have been a top 10 quarterback. Jordan Love, a little bit too early. Hurts is a surprise, right? I mean, here's what one NFC executive said about Hurts. He was playing hurt, which he was last year. The Eagles tried to downplay that, but he didn't look right. He wasn't the same runner he was in the past, and passing the ball was tough for him. He'll always be in that 7 to 12 range, depending on how productive he is each year. Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles' offense just became a little bit too predictable. We'll see what it looks like with Kellen Moore this year. But I like Hurts, and Hurts was unhealthy. I think Hurts was legitimately in that top 10 last year and deserved to be. Look, I hate to say it, but if Cousins had stayed healthy last year, he would have flirted. Here's what somebody wrote. An NFL offensive coach, he's proven he can be elite. From 2021 to now, he's basically been that. The Vikings had no chance without him last year. The bottom line is he was on pace for 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns when he got hurt. That would have put him in the MVP conversation last year. He was playing at his highest level of his career when he tore his Achilles at Lambeau. And the Vikings were on a roll. They had just beaten the 49ers on Monday Night Football without Justin Jefferson. They had beaten the Packers on the road. They were beating him. He was having another big day. And they were on the verge of a big run. And he was on the verge of his biggest year. It's starting over in Atlanta. They've got some weapons. Would it surprise me if he has a massive year? No, it won't. But I'd actually have him close. Given that Goff is there at 9 and Dax at 10, I'd have Hurts, Lawrence, and Kirk pushing 10 instead of being an honorable mention. All right, who's number two after Mahomes? You know, there's another quarterback that can certainly, you know, I mentioned Herbert. I think Justin Herbert's going to prove to be that. You know, if it's not this year, to Denton's point, it's going to be the next couple. I think he's an elite talent. An elite talent. And we'll see what Harbaugh can sort of unlock for him and that offense. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
ESPN.com has their list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. One is Mahomes, two Burrow, three Josh Allen, four Lamar Jackson, five Matt Stafford. I think that's high for Stafford now at this point in his career. I do. Six is Herbert. I would have Herbert in front of Stafford. I'd have Herbert in front of Jackson. I might have Herbert number two on my list, but probably three behind Allen. Seven is Stroud after one season. Eight is Aaron Rodgers. Nine is Goff. 10 is Dak Prescott. From Kenny, where do you think Jaden Daniels lands on next year's list, Sheehan? Well, if C.J. Stroud landed at seven, can we just say 10? Can we be conservative and say 10? Is that conservative? I have no idea. I have high expectations for him in his rookie season, but I don't know that the team around him is quite what Houston had, and they're not in the same division that Houston was in last year. So there were some things that really worked for what was an aberration rookie quarterback season, the one that C.J. Stroud had. By the way, I still think the jury's out on Jordan Love. Do you? I liked what I saw last year. Perfect offense for him. I liked it, but essentially on this list, they have him as an honorable mention, you know, close to the top 10.
Yeah, I'm not getting Trevor Lawrence again. You know, I need to see more of a sample size before I'm going to catapult him above some of these other names.
Apparently, the biggest gripe was Tua not being in the top 10.
By who?
That's, you know, just looking at a lot of the comments on this list.
Oh, you got to be careful.
The other one was just having Purdy in the honorable mention. I just can't buy Purdy. Not yet. I liked a lot of what I saw, but the bottom line is in the playoffs, in those two playoff games in the NFC, he was not very good in the first half against Green Bay. He was not very good in the first half against Detroit, but he did deliver. With the game on the line twice, he did. Yeah. All right. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Our phone lines are open. After Mahomes, who's your number two? And why? This conversation here on the Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's start with Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, well, welcome back. I'm not going to say Lamar is better than Allen or Burrow, but, you know, and I'm not being a homer, but at least for another couple of years, I would go with him because he is so athletic and gifted. And, you know, he really has never had a top-notch receiver, either a one or a two like Burrow and Allen have had. But, you know, each of those three, they're interchangeable after Mahomes, and they each have a weakness. Allen does make too many mistakes.
He does.
Burrow has been injury-prone. I know Lamar missed some games, but Lamar's played a lot of games. And, you know, so I'm not going to say he's injury-prone. So I think you could put an argument up for any of those three. And then you got another group. I think your guy out in L.A., formerly San Diego, I think he's just another Phillip Rivers you're going to be hanging on for another 10 years. But he's
well,
certainly talented. He's certainly talented.
If he ends up being another Phillip Rivers, that's a pretty good thing.
Well,
if you told me Rivers, he's my number two or number three in the league right now.
Well, I know, but the same thing comes back on Lamar. You got to win in the playoffs and you got to win a championship. So, I mean, that was always the problem with Fouts, going back to Dan Fouts and Phillip Rivers. But certainly they're talented. But, you know, you probably got a group there after those top four, another group of four, five, or six that you can win a championship with.
Thank you, Robert, in Annapolis. What was Rivers' playoff record? Because they won some big playoff games. He was 5-7 in the playoffs. Remember when they beat the Colts one of those years when they were a one seed on the road? Remember, Peyton lost at home, I think, three times as a top seed. They lost to Pittsburgh 1 year. They lost to the Chargers 1 year. And I don't know that they lost at home to New England. I forget who else. Maybe it was just those two. Let's go to Samaj. Samaj, who would be your number two quarterback after Patrick Mahomes and why?
First off, Coach, welcome back. Hope you had a great vacay with you and your family, man. I hope that was really enjoyable. And who knows, maybe as Doc put it, maybe you were in Morocco. Who knows? Anyway.
Is that what he said, Morocco? I'll tell you what, if he had guessed just a typical Doc guess and said Vegas, he would have been right for about 60 hours. I was there at one point.
Well, he started the week saying Vegas, but he ended the week with you being in Morocco.
Okay. I'm glad he doesn't talk about me during the shows.
So I'm gonna give you 11. And I'm going to give you a couple honorable mentions real quick. So I'm going with Stafford, number two.
Then Stafford, number two, at this point in his career.
Dude,
why?
I seen him last year live when he came to Baltimore. The dude is still in his prime. He cut out, and we had one of the best secondaries in the league.
Yeah, he had a great
and he chopped
game
us up. Stafford, number two.
Okay.
And so after Stafford, then I'm going with my quarterback, Lamar. Then I'm going with Goff. I'm going with Hurts. Allen, Dak, then your guy Herbert, and Burrow, Tua, and Lawrence close out my list because of the number one skill that they can't put a handle on, which is availability. And then I got an honorable mention for CJ and Love, only because those two young guys, I need to see another year out of them too before I'm convinced. Thanks for taking my calls always,
all
Coach.
Right,
God
so
bless
much.
You both.
Appreciate
have a good one.
Yeah. Last year, Stafford threw for 3,965 yards, 24 touchdowns, 11 picks. And look, the Rams had a chance. You know, they had a chance in that playoff game at Detroit. That was the wild card round, right, Denton? Wasn't that that was the first playoff game in Detroit like in 30 years or whatever?
Yes.
And that game was super close. I'm looking up what the final score of that game was. Didn't the Rams have a chance to win that game? Yeah, 24-23. Stafford threw for 367 and two touchdowns, no picks on the road in that playoff game. He had some really good games last year. They're an interesting team this year. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, after Mahomes, who's the second best quarterback in the NFL?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Welcome back.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, real quick, Peyton Manning lost his third home playoff game as a Colt to Mark Sanchez in the Jets, which also happened to be his
right
home as a Colt. So that was a third
good
one.
Yeah. But I don't think they were a one seed for that one. I think that was a wild card round game.
New England was number one seed. New England was number one seed. The Jets beat them the next week. So there you go.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But I was thinking about the 2 years against Pittsburgh and against the Chargers when they were the top seed in the AFC and lost at home in that divisional round. I think that loss to the Jets was a wild card loss at home. I think it was.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So I would say, looking at this list, that where Lamar Jackson is ranked, I would put him as number two, and I'll explain why. I understand that when he's healthy, he is so dominant in the league, and playoff record is not so good. But however, the last couple of times he's lost playoff games is because they haven't done what he's done best. I mean, look at Kansas City. He was good at running the football and also throwing it, but they didn't let him run the football much. Now that he has all-pro running back in Derrick Henry this upcoming season, there is no excuse to what happens to him come playoff time. But if they can just let Lamar do what Lamar Jackson does best, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do as well Mahomes can do again. Who knows? But, yeah, he's number two right now. And this year, there really is no excuse for them not to abandon the run when you have Lamar and Derrick Henry running the football. So the list is pretty close after that, but Lamar, to me, is number two. Take care.
Yeah. I think that Lamar Jackson's special in so many different ways. And the way the Ravens played football, especially when Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator, I actually think suits him best. Todd Monken definitely had more drop back and more play action into the game. And, you know, Remember, they didn't have Mark Andrews for a big stretch of those games. Now, they still ended up with home field against Kansas City in that divisional round after beating Houston, right, in the first round. That's who they beat. Or Houston in the divisional round, KC in the AFC Championship game at home. I think the biggest... Right now, if you told me that Baltimore ended up winning playoff games next year and got to the Super Bowl and even won the Super Bowl, I would suggest that they did it totally as sort of a front-running running team where they captured the lead. They were able to stay in Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson dual threat mode, Gus Edwards, etc., where you can throw when you're not supposed to throw and have some success. Because I think that this is just true when it comes to Lamar Jackson, that when he's forced to throw from behind, as they were in the AFC Championship game, correct me if I'm wrong, Denton, but I think they were down two touchdowns in that game. What was the final score of the AFC title game? Was it 17-7?
17, I think it was 17-10.
17-10. Were they down 17-3?
I believe they were, because Kansas City marched right down on their first two possessions and scored.
Yeah.
Which had not been done against Baltimore.
I think in those positions, come from behind, have to throw from the pocket with the other team knowing, that's been a problem for him. It has been. By the way, Robert, so Peyton Manning's all-time playoff record ended up being a winning record, especially when he got to Denver. But in addition to, you know, we forget this, in addition to the home games that they lost, in Indy, where as a one seed they lost to Pittsburgh, as a one seed they lost to the Chargers at home, as a one seed they lost, in a wild card round game they lost to the Jets at home. Let's not forget, as a one seed in Denver, they lost to the Ravens, who, by the way, the guy that caught the bomb from Joe Flacco, Jacoby Jones, died over the weekend. 40 years old. And there's no information on that, right, Denton? I haven't seen any cause of death anywhere.
No, not that we've seen. Maybe the next couple of days.
Very sad, you know, because he was so significant in the Ravens' run to that title. He had the bomb at the end of regulation that forced overtime, the 75-yard touchdown pass. He returned the kickoff to open up the second half in the Super Bowl against the 49ers, like 100. I think it's still the record for a kickoff return in a Super Bowl. But Peyton lost that game at home, lost to the Colts at home when he was in Denver in the postseason as well. Lost a lot of home playoff games as a higher-seeded team. Still, ultimately, you know, got two Super Bowls and got that second one with Denver. But a lot of playoff heartache for Peyton Manning. You know, he had a losing playoff record for many, many years until they won the three games in Denver in his final season in the NFL. Tom's on hold. Tom's calling from Rockville. Tom, who's number two after Mahomes on your quarterback list?
I'm surprised Hurts isn't higher in general.
He was last year, but he had a rough end of the season. He was hurt too, man. But I agree.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But who's your number two?
That hurt Peyton was his Dungy was his coach.
Well, they won the Super Bowl.
Never impressed. I know, but Dungy reminds me of McCarthy.
Yeah, a little bit. But who's your number two after Mahomes?
Any one of those three are interchangeable, I think.
Allen, Burrow, and Jackson, you're saying?
Yeah, probably Burrow I'd give the advantage.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Tom. Jalen last year hurts. 23 touchdowns, 15 picks. Took 36 sacks on the season and rushed for 155 yards less than he had the year before. Did have, however, 15 tush-push rushing touchdowns. I don't know if it was 15 tush-push, but it was probably at least 12 of the 15 were. But look, that team collapsed at the end of last year. Completely collapsed and then got absolutely blown out in the playoff game against Tampa. They lost five of their last six and got crushed in the playoff game at Tampa. I think, you know, health and maybe a different offensive approach might help Jalen Hurts in the upcoming season. We'll do some Denton news next. 12 noon, Ben Standig. 12:35, Chase Hughes will jump on with us. He is just back from Vegas from the Summer League. We'll find out what he thought seeing Alex Saar and Carrington and company up close in the first few Wizards Summer League games. Kevin Sciancho, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, yesterday was a big day for those of us in the video game community. I say those of us. I still don't have a console.
College football EA.
But the college football game dropped. It also dropped a couple of ratings. I don't know if you saw this, but they rated...
About how bad Maryland was?
Oh, Maryland. You know, I know it's just a video game, but Maryland ranked as the second worst Power 5 school, or now Power 4 school, excuse me, a Power 4 school in the game ahead of only Vanderbilt. Now, they're tied with about four others, but the fact that Indiana ranked ahead of Maryland, I don't buy that, to be honest.
Look, the good news is they're going to go ahead and play the games anyway. You know? Despite what the video game ranking is, they're going to go ahead and play. They've had a chance the last couple of years because they've had the ability with Leah, Tua's younger brother, to really throw the football. They've got explosive athletes. You know, their recruiting class for 25 has really come into to shape. You know, it's like borderline top 25. You follow this stuff. I've just seen the... You know, the people that I follow, the Terp people that I follow, are really talking up Lox's 25 recruiting class.
They're keeping kids home. You know, it's taken a while, but they're starting to keep all of the talent that's here home, which is incredibly, obviously, as you know, incredibly helpful. We've been hoping that they've been able to do that for years, and they're finally starting to do that.
By the way, real quickly, Baltimore was not down by two touchdowns. They were down by 10 at halftime. 17-7. So it was never 17-3 in the AFC title game. It was 17-7, but you know, it was one bad ending to a drive there was the fumble, there was the pick, and there were a lot of punts in the second half. In fact, the only score they had was set up with incredible field position. You know, basically at the 50-yard line, they had a long field goal from Tucker. All right, what else?
So yesterday, Stranger Things released a teaser for season 5. I say teaser, I think most people, when they think teaser, it's like a trailer. This was not that. It was more behind the scenes kind of stuff. But they said that they're halfway through the filming of season 5. And we're supposed to get season 5, I think, around this time next year.
Will you do what I think I will do, which is prior to season 5, go back and watch, if you know, as much as we can, the first four seasons?
Not the first four, but definitely season 4.
Probably, yeah, season 4 for sure.
Just that final, you know, basically movie, the 2.5-hour episode, just to get re-caught up with certain things. But like one thing being 2.5 hours, that's a lot to work through.
Yeah. Yep. All right, good. I mean, one of the great shows, really, that, you know, in this Netflix, you know, era of shows, would look forward to that. Very much look forward to that. I have not and did not, sorry, take you up on your offer to try to get into House of Dragon. I have not had the opportunity to do that. Everybody's telling me I should. But haven't done it yet.
I'm not much better. I literally watched the first episode of season 2 and I haven't watched one since. I'm just going to binge it when it's all done.
Okay.
It'll make it easier to move through, I think. How about a little bit of golf news? Tiger Woods claims he has too many commitments, so he will not be the Ryder Cup captain this year. The Ryder Cup unfortunately, during football season, but it's September 26th through the 28th.
Yeah, he's playing at Troon, which starts on Thursday very early in the morning. If you're up at like 2 a.m., it'll be on Peacock and then USA starting at 4 a.m. Love the British Open. And looking forward to seeing him play. I'm trying to see what time he goes off on Thursday. This course actually, in some ways, if the weather's okay, might actually set up for him to play a little bit better. 9:37 a.m. Eastern is his round one on Thursday. That means he'll go off much earlier than that on Friday. When does Rory go off? Can't wait to see how he bounces back. Yeah, I mean, Tiger's, you know, he's done it already. It's fine if he doesn't want to do it in September.
Update on the Mystics. They're currently in action. They're tied 17-17 with the Phoenix Mercury.
Well, why did you just do that?
What? They're playing.
Why would you give in the update of this show a Mystics score? First of all, why are they playing in the middle of the day?
I was skeptical of this as well. I have found out since, thanks to a couple of very well-sourced WNBA fans, it's for summer camp day, so kids can go and watch the local WNBA team play.
That's a great idea.
It is. It's very smart.
That's a really smart idea, especially for that league.
Yeah,
but that wasn't part of your story. Like, part of your news, it should have been, hey, did you know the Mystics are playing right now and they lead the Mercury, whatever, that's Phoenix?
Yeah, that is Phoenix.
And they lead the Mercury, but the reason I'm bringing it up is they're playing the game at 11 a.m. in the morning to allow summer day campers to show up. Instead, you just gave the score.
I teased that we had in the earlier update that they were playing at 11:30.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't listening to the
thanks for listening
update
to my very well thought out trending now. But yeah, right. So they're playing. I believe it's for camp day. You know, I have been very harsh on the WNBA for the scheduling, as I should be. They had no games during the day on July 4th. I was like, how that happened is beyond me. And they put all their games when fireworks were scheduled across the country, which made no sense. But they're doing a summer camp day. I do have some unfortunate news that actually just came across my phone. Oh, the father of Kobe Bryant, Joe Jellybean Bryant, passed away at the age of 69 today.
Oh, wow. 69. Ugh. That's too young. Was he unhealthy? I mean, look, Jellybean Bryant, Joe Bryant was part in, he was a part of the 76ers teams of the 70s that were supposed to win title after title. You know, this was the Daryl Dawkins, Dr. J, Bobby Jones, World Be Free, George McGinnis 76ers after the ABA folded and some of the teams from the ABA went into the NBA. You know, the Pacers, the Nets, the Nuggets, the Spurs. I think I just got all four. Maybe maybe I'm missing one other one. But Dr. J ended up in Philadelphia as part of the merger, and the Sixers were supposed to win all of these games. That's sad. How long was his career? 8 seasons in the NBA with the Sixers, Clippers, and Rockets, averaged 8.7 points per game. But then he went overseas, played in France and Italy, and that's where Kobe grew up. It's one of the reasons Kobe was multilingual. And I thought was always, you know, more interesting because of his life experience and how he grew up. But he played in France and Italy and then coached in Japan and Thailand. It's the thing about basketball, man. I mean, if you're good enough, not good enough for the NBA, but good enough to play professionally, you can have one hell of an interesting life. You know, I've told the story before of Darren's brother, Kevin, so sadly passed away two months ago. So sad. Kevin was a listener to the show. I really enjoyed Kevin and some of the conversations we'd have and some of the texts back and forths. But his younger brother, Darren, played at James Madison for Lefty Driesell. I think Darren is still one of the all-time leading scorers in James Madison basketball history. But he wasn't good enough to play in the NBA. I mean, he had a couple of looks, but he had like a 13-year international career, played in like five or six different countries at multiple levels. And I got to know Darren as he was coaching in the area, and I think he still is, and he trains a lot of the big-time players in the area. A lot of the pros will come back and train with Darren. He's a great guy. But his experience just, I think, made him a more well-rounded person. And Kobe had that growing up abroad. But that's sad that his father passed away, especially at such a young age.
According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he had battled some health issues and had just recently, I don't know what recent means here, but had just recently suffered a massive stroke.
I can only imagine what it's been like for everybody in that family over the last 4 years. You know? Nothing worse, I can only imagine, than losing a child. And he wasn't a child, I understand that, but still, his son. What else?
Final thing here, it's college football season. You know, media days in full swing. Big 12 was last week. SEC is this week. We got word today. FSU trying desperately to get out of the ACC. They see a lot of money in the Big Ten and the SEC. They're trying to get into one of those. Well, according to Brett McMurphy, the Action Network, if FSU gets out of the ACC, neither the Big Ten or SEC wants FSU. They don't see any financial gain by adding Florida State, and they also think that Florida State has been a problematic partner over the past couple of months and years, so they want no part of Florida State.
A problematic partner for the ACC.
For the ACC, yes.
You know, in thinking about Florida State, like, really, they don't bring a big market to the table. They're not the most popular Florida school. You know, in order it goes, the University of Florida is by far and away in the state of Florida the most followed program and has the most passionate and largest of the college football fan bases. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, to me, out of the ACC, I think the University of North Carolina would bring a lot. I think Clemson brings a lot, but I think the University of North Carolina would bring a lot. I know the Big Ten wants those, I forget the term again, somebody will help me with this on Twitter, but it's an academic designation in terms of what kind of university you are. It allows for or accesses certain federal funds if you're that kind of a school. I forget what the thing is, but I don't think Florida State or Clemson fit that description. I think Carolina and UVA do. So where would Florida State would end up in the Big 12? If the Big Ten and the SEC aren't options, and the ACC says, you know, and they get out of the ACC, the Big 12 would be their only option.
Theoretically, yeah, which at that point, with all due respect to the Big 12, and they do pull in a good amount of money, you just stay in the ACC. There's no reason to jump out of the ACC for the Big 12 now.
Right. All right. Ben Standing next, after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show. We are on the Team 980, theteam980.com, and you can listen to us wherever you are and wherever you go on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hitting the news you might have missed, it's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, yesterday was a big day for those of us in the video game community. I say those of us. I still don't have a console.
College football, EA.
But the college football game dropped. It also dropped a couple of ratings. I don't know if you saw this, but they rated
about how bad Maryland was.
Oh, Maryland. You know, I know it's just a video game, but Maryland ranked as the second worst Power 5 school, or now Power 4 school, excuse me, a Power 4 school in the game, ahead of only Vanderbilt. Now they're tied with about four others, but the fact that Indiana ranked ahead of Maryland, I don't buy that, to be honest.
Look, the good news is they're going to go ahead and play the games anyway, you know? Despite what the video game ranking is, they're going to go ahead and play. They've had a chance the last couple of years because they've had the ability with Leah, Tua's younger brother, to really throw the football. They've got explosive athletes. You know, their recruiting class for 25 has really come into shape. You know, it's like borderline top 25. You follow this stuff. I've just seen the... You know, the people that I follow, the Terp people that I follow, are really talking up Lox's 25 recruiting class.
They're keeping kids home. You know, it's taken a while, but they're starting to keep all of the talent that's here home, which is incredibly, obviously, as you know, incredibly helpful. We've been hoping that they've been able to do that for years, and they're finally starting to do that.
By the way, real quickly, Baltimore was not down by two touchdowns. They were down by 10 at halftime. 17-7. So it was never 17-3 in the AFC title game. It was 17-7, but you know, it was one bad ending to a drive there was the fumble, there was the pick, and there were a lot of punts in the second half. In fact, the only score they had was set up with incredible field position. You know, basically at the 50-yard line, they had a long field goal from Tucker. All right, what else?
So yesterday, Stranger Things released a teaser for season 5. I say teaser, I think most people, when they think teaser, it's like a trailer. This was not that. It was more behind the scenes kind of stuff. But they said that they're halfway through the filming of season 5. And we're supposed to get season 5, I think, around this time next year.
Will you do what I think I will do, which is prior to season 5, go back and watch, if you know, as much as we can, the first four seasons?
Not the first four, but definitely season 4.
Probably, yeah, season four for sure.
Just that final, you know, basically movie, the 2.5-hour episode, just to get re-caught up with certain things. But like, one thing being 2.5 hours, that's a lot to work through.
Yeah. Yep. All right, good. I mean, one of the great shows, really, that, you know, in this Netflix, you know, era of shows, would look forward to that. Very much look forward to that. I have not and did not, sorry, take you up on your offer to try to get into House of Dragon. I have not had the opportunity to do that. Everybody's telling me I should, but haven't done it yet.
I'm not much better. I literally watched the first episode of season two, and I haven't watched one since. I'm just going to binge it when it's all done.
Okay.
It'll make it easier to move through, I think. How about a little bit of golf news? Tiger Woods claims he has too many commitments, so he will not be the Ryder Cup captain this year. The Ryder Cup, unfortunately, during football season, but it's September 26th through the 28th.
Yeah, he's playing at Troon, which starts on Thursday very early in the morning. If you're up at like 2 a.m., it'll be on Peacock and then USA starting at 4 a.m. Love the British Open. And looking forward to seeing him play. I'm trying to see what time he goes off on Thursday. This course, actually, in some ways, if the weather's okay, might actually set up for him to play a little bit better. 9:37 a.m. Eastern is his round one on Thursday. That means he'll go off much earlier than that on Friday. When does Rory go off? Can't wait to see how he bounces back. Tiger's, you know, he's done it already. It's fine if he doesn't want to do it in September.
Update on the Mystics. They're currently in action. They're tied 17-17 with the Phoenix Mercury.
Well, why did you just do that?
What? They're playing.
Why would you give in the update of this show a Mystics score? First of all, why are they playing in the middle of the day?
I was skeptical of this as well. I have found out since, thanks to a couple of very well-sourced WNBA fans, it's for summer camp day, so kids can go and watch the local WNBA team play.
That's a great idea.
It is. It's very smart.
That's a really smart idea, especially for that league.
Yeah,
but that wasn't part of your story. Like, part of your news, it should have been, hey, did you know the Mystics are playing right now and they lead the Mercury, whatever, that's Phoenix?
Yeah, that is Phoenix.
And they lead the Mercury, but the reason I'm bringing it up is they're playing the game at 11 a.m. in the morning to allow summer day campers to show up. Instead, you just gave the score.
I teased that we had in the earlier update that they were playing at 11:30.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't listening to the
thanks for listening
update.
To my very well thought out trending now. But yeah, right. So they're playing. I believe it's for camp day. You know, I have been very harsh on the WNBA for their scheduling, as I should be. They had no games during the day on July 4th. I was like, how that happened is beyond me. And they put all their games when fireworks were scheduled across the country, which made no sense. But they're doing a summer camp day. I do have some unfortunate news that actually just came across my phone. Oh, the father of Kobe Bryant, Joe Jellybean Bryant, passed away at the age of 69 today.
Oh, wow. 69. Ugh. That's too young. Was he unhealthy? I mean, look, Jellybean Bryant, Joe Bryant was part in... He was a part of the 76ers teams of the 70s that were supposed to win title after title. You know, this was the Daryl Dawkins, Dr. J, Bobby Jones, World Be Free, George McGinnis 76ers after the ABA folded and some of the teams from the ABA went into the NBA. You know, the Pacers, the Nets, the Nuggets, the Spurs. I think I just got all four. Maybe I'm missing one other one. But Dr. J ended up in Philadelphia as part of the merger, and the Sixers were supposed to win all of these games. That's sad. How long was his career? 8 seasons in the NBA with the Sixers, Clippers, and Rockets, averaged 8.7 points per game. But then he went overseas. Played in France and Italy, and that's where Kobe grew up. It's one of the reasons Kobe was multilingual. And I thought was always, you know, more interesting because of his life experience and how he grew up. But he played in France and Italy and then coached in Japan and Thailand. It's the thing about basketball, man. I mean, if you're good enough, not good enough for the NBA, but good enough to play professionally, you can have one hell of an interesting life. You know, I've told the story before of Darren's brother, Kevin, so sadly passed away two months ago. So sad. Kevin was a listener to the show. I really enjoyed Kevin and some of the conversations we'd have and some of the texts back and forths. But his younger brother, Darren, played at James Madison for Lefty Driesell. I think Darren is still one of the all-time leading scorers in James Madison basketball history. But he wasn't good enough to play in the NBA. I mean, he had a couple of looks, but he had like a 13-year international career, played in like five or six different countries at multiple levels. And I got to know Darren as he was coaching in the area, and I think he still is, and he trains a lot of the big-time players in the area. A lot of the pros will come back and train with Darren. He's a great guy. But his experience just, I think, made him a more well-rounded person. And Kobe had that growing up abroad. But that's sad that his father passed away, especially at such a young age.
According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he had battled some health issues and had just recently, I don't know what recent means here, but had just recently suffered a massive stroke.
I can only imagine what it's been like for everybody in that family over the last 4 years. You know? Nothing worse, I can only imagine, than losing a child. And he wasn't a child, I understand that, but still. His son. What else?
Final thing here, it's college football season. You know, media days in full swing. Big 12 was last week. SEC is this week. We got word today. FSU trying desperately to get out of the ACC. They see a lot of money in the Big Ten and the SEC. They're trying to get into one of those. Well, according to Brett McMurphy, the Action Network, if FSU gets out of the ACC, neither the Big Ten or SEC wants FSU. They don't see any financial gain by adding Florida State, and they also think that Florida State has been a problematic partner over the past couple of months and years, so they want no part of Florida State.
A problematic partner for the ACC.
For the ACC, yes.
You know, in thinking about Florida State, like really, they don't bring a big market to the table. They're not the most popular Florida school. You know, in order it goes, the University of Miami, the University of Florida is by far and away in the state of the state of Florida the most followed program and has the most passionate and largest of the college football fan bases. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, to me, out of the ACC, I think the University of North Carolina would bring a lot. I think Clemson brings a lot, but I think the University of North Carolina would bring a lot. I know the Big Ten wants those, I forget the term again, somebody will help me with this on Twitter, but it's an academic designation in terms of what kind of university you are. It allows for or accesses certain federal funds if you're that kind of a school. I forget what the thing is, but I don't think Florida State or Clemson fit that description. I think Carolina and UVA do. So where would Florida State would end up in the Big 12? If the Big Ten and the SEC aren't options, and the ACC says, you know, and they get out of the ACC, the Big 12 would be their only option.
Theoretically, yeah, which at that point, with all due respect to the Big 12, and they do pull in a good amount of money, you just stay in the ACC. There's no reason to jump out of the ACC for the Big 12 now.
Right. All right. Ben Standing next, after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show. We are on the Team 980, theteam980.com, and you can listen to us wherever you are and wherever you go on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.